And so I think the church gives us a framework to live in, and we know that if we're in that framework, we're on the right path. We don't have to wonder, gosh, am I good with the Lord? If we're praying, if we're fasting, if we're going to confession, if we're sacramentally active, the church has provided us something to reassure us that we are on the right path. And that is what brings, you know, happiness and joy and comfort. I don't have to worry.
Today on Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network, we're going to spend much of our time talking about happiness, joy, and contentment, three similar emotions or states of being, but finding their sources in different places. We'll elaborate on that fact, and we'll talk more about the things which get us off the path.
I read something recently that they surveyed a large group of senior citizens, and the senior citizens were asked, what is your greatest regret in your life? And they said the number one answer was, we wish we hadn't worried so much. Which it kind of goes along with this pursuit of happiness and all the anxiety and worry that it brings with it. If you've got a good relationship with Christ, then your worries and your anxieties are managed.
How are you managing your worries and anxieties? My mother used to say that my dad worried too much. Now, I never saw it, but then she knew him better than I did. We all worry and get anxious. But as our guest suggested, it can be managed. Stay tuned for more about that. And we'll also talk more today about Pistevo.
I've sat in the sanctuary a couple times after a day of shooting and sat in silence. And it's been, as someone who grew up in a Jewish home, not very religious in this part of my life, I'll tell you, for me, doing this film has changed something.
Who is that, and what exactly is he talking about? And what is Pistevo? Well, some of you already know the answers to those questions. Good for you. For those who don't, well, that short conversation is coming up in just a minute. Welcome again to our weekly visit we call Come Receive the Light. I'm Mike Trout, and our host is the new president of Hellenic College Holy Cross School of Theology, Father Christopher Metropoulos. OCN, the Orthodox Christian Network, is on the web at myocn.net. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. And when you visit the website, you'll be able to listen again to this broadcast and review our archives of several hundred broadcasts covering a long list of interesting and potentially life-changing topics. In addition, we have our blog page. It's called The Sounding, dealing with several topics every week and gleaning feedback from readers and contributors from around the world. Jump online if you can and get involved. That's myocn.net. And now with our first conversation in his new office at the college and on the phone, here's Father Chris.
OCN is inspired by Pistevo, The Art of Belief, a documentary recently produced by Michael and Robin Saros and family. The 18-minute movie features the newly installed iconography in the Greek Orthodox Church of Our Savior in Rye, New York. We've invited Mark Brody, the owner of MIB Media Works, to tell us about his experience in making that movie. Mark, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Father Chris. I appreciate you reaching out to me.
Let's let our audience know in full disclosure that you're not an Orthodox Christian, nor that you are accustomed to working with icons. So it's going to be interesting to know what were your first impressions of seeing such a bold expression of iconography, or they would call it art, in the Orthodox Church.
Well, it's funny. When I was working with Michael Pissaros on a video for his company, he asked me to go to his church, the Church of Our Savior in Rye, New York, to interview his parish priest, Father Elias Villas. That's not normally a request that I get from my corporate clients, to be allowed into their lives and to talk to their parish priests.
Right.
So I was very excited about it and didn't really know anything about the church, but I knew that Michael and his family had helped with the iconography installation, which had taken a couple of years. The morning that I was to interview Father Elias with my producer, Taryn Grimes Herbert, he gave me a call and he said, "Mark, I'm very sorry." And he went on to excuse himself, and I didn't know why. Finally, he said, I hate to tell you this, but there's scaffolding going up in the church, in the sanctuary, where you wanted to do the interview. And for me, that was a win-win. He thought it was a problem. For me, it was, no, that's perfect. Michael's involved. He wants me to talk to you. We'll come and we'll videotape the scaffolding. And eventually what happened is I walked into the church with the scaffolding coming in the front door of the sanctuary and was completely blown away by the beauty, the color, because the iconography is literally, the paint is still wet. It's so fresh. It jumps off the walls. And that's what started it. And we went and did the interview with Father Elias and then brought him back into the church to do a short, separate piece while he was under the scaffolding that you'll see in the film, where you see the scaffolding around him and he's talking about the iconography.
Well, the icons, and for those people who may be listening who are not Orthodox Christians, they might be used to a Protestant or even a Catholic church that has completely white walls and maybe just a cross over the altar area. And this church had not done its iconography project, as many had done in the country. And the icons are known for Orthodox Christians as really windows to heaven. It's what it would look like should we be able to peek through. So this is a complete transformation for the church. The documentary you did is impressive. You've already been awarded the Indy Fest Award of Excellence for the summer season, and I'm certain there'll be many more awards to come. So let me go a little bit deeper on the question and ask you a little deeper. You said that Father Elias was one of the keys here. What's the secret here?
Well, that day that I arrived at the church with the scaffolding, I met Father Elias for the first time. I had only talked to him on the phone once before that. And we sat him down, and Taryn and I have done hundreds and hundreds of interviews with different leaders and churches and political figures and world leaders. And immediately, his compassion, gratitude, love, faith, humanity just came out. He's also very handsome. He's also a fairly large man.
He's tall. Big guy.
Yeah, and all of that just was so powerful that I have to admit to you something that had never happened to me before. As a man, I wept during parts of his interview.
My goodness, okay. Well, you know, people see documentaries and they see shows, and they think it's easy sometimes. But I know, having been in media for a couple of years now, a couple of decades, that it takes really a village to put this stuff together. So let's talk about the team, the amount of people you had. How long did it take to produce this documentary?
Well, we weren't on a timetable. Michael gave us a lot of latitude. There were a lot of people involved in moving parts. We interviewed 14 folks from the parish, their schedule, so on and so forth. Logistics is one of the things that's always a challenge when you're doing video production or film production. So it took us, you know, I would say over, you know, between editing and shooting, 10 months to complete what is now a little around 18 minutes.
Okay. You know, OCN, as you know, has been inspired by the movie and the enthusiasm that this particular project brings forward. We'll be featuring follow-up episodes on iconography and interviews from the parish itself. What can you tell us about this part of our partnership?
It's been wonderful. We've created for OCN and for ourselves 9 episodes. The first episode was really a reflection by some young parishioners what they thought of the iconography and then the film, because we had a luncheon on June 21st when we launched the film. On that same day, the Archbishop Demetrius came to the church and blessed the iconography. So we videotaped the liturgy and then his blessing of all the iconography, and that one of 3 episodes will actually be going up on OCN next week. The other three or four episodes, one was with the Archbishop talking to him, that was episode 2, and then 3, 4, 5, and 6 were reprieves of parts of the film with new information from the parishioners, new pieces of interview we hadn't used in the film. So just kind of bringing more content around what we've already done to the public.
Okay. Now, I can't resist asking you this one. Do you have a favorite icon, or was there a favorite interview in all this process?
As I said, the most moving interview for me was Father Elias. All the parishioners and folks that we interviewed were incredibly impressive and faithful and heartfelt. In terms of the iconography, you know, I don't really have a favorite. They all individually touch me. I've sat in the sanctuary a couple times after a day of shooting, and once or twice, and sat in silence. As someone who grew up in a Jewish home, conservative Jewish home, went to temple, was bar mitzvahed, not very religious in this part of my life, but I'll tell you, faith and belief in something out there for me, doing this film has changed something in me, and it's hard for me to explain, as you can tell.
No, that's great, Mark. Listen, thank you for taking the time. I know you're extremely busy. We very much appreciate working with you and our partnership with you, with Pistevo, and with Michael and Robert Saros. We're very pleased to share this program with many, many people, not only in the United States, but throughout the world. Pistevo, The Art of Belief. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
You can view that new episode Mark mentioned and all the previous episodes when you go to our website at myocn.net. That's myocn.net. We have links to the videos as well on our Facebook page, on Twitter, and on Google+. You're listening to Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network. We're a nonprofit outreach, and if you'd like to encourage us, please leave a comment on any of our online or social media pages. We are also listener-supported, and there's a link on our website labeled Donate, which will explain some of our needs and the ways you can help. As one of my friends once said, just a small donation from a lot of friends makes a big difference. Click on the Donate button and find out more. And now with our feature conversation, here again is Father Chris.
Father Stavros Akritiranakis is with us again. He serves the parish of St. John Greek Orthodox Church in Tampa, Florida, and he is the director of the St. Stephen Summer Camp for the metropolis of Atlanta. Welcome, Father Stavros.
Hey, Father Chris. Nice to be back with you.
Good to have you here. You know, Father, there's a Greek saying, may you find what your heart desires. It's a blessing for happiness and pretty much a common theme in modern society, but I think we need to really ask the question, what is happiness?
You know, that's a great question. There are a lot of people who become very frustrated in their pursuit for happiness. And I really believe, having given this a lot of thought, that happiness is something that is really influenced by other people. And that the word that we should be striving for is fulfillment or contentment. Because that is something that we can control. And let me give you an example. If people say you've got a great car, you know, that comment will make me very happy. But if I know that I stole the car and I look myself in the eye in the mirror, then I'm going to know that I'm a thief. But if everybody says you have an ugly car, that won't make me happy. But if I go home and look myself in the eye and say I paid for this car with my hard-earned money and it was, you know, taken in an honest way, then I'm content or I'm fulfilled. And it seems like We confuse happiness. The real contentment or fulfillment is really found only with a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. Because when you strip everything away from life, and as we will all find out when we get older and we get to that point, the only thing that's left is God. We don't take our belongings, our fame, our fortune, our family. The ultimate happiness, the ultimate fulfillment, contentment is with God.
And it's amazing how sometimes it takes people a lifetime to figure that out. And others figure that out right off the get-go, don't they?
Yes, and there are a lot of people at the end who say that their greatest regret is that they didn't have that relationship with God. In fact, I read something recently that they surveyed a large group of senior citizens, and the senior citizens were asked, what is your greatest regret in your life? And they said the number one answer was, we wish we hadn't worried so much, which kind of goes along with this pursuit of happiness and all the anxiety and worry that it brings with it. If you've got a good relationship with Christ, then your worries and your anxieties are managed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I remember one of the spiritual fathers that I had spoken to often said, you know, don't worry about the past. You can't change the past. Live in today, and don't worry about tomorrow because you can't plan it. It's going to change anyway. So it's so true.
And if you even get to it tomorrow, we worry about, so much about tomorrow. And,
But it's hard sometimes to do that, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, because we are so pressured. You just go to any grocery store, and on the checkout line, you have all these magazines telling us what it is we need to be happy. You know, this outfit or this hairstyle or what this person has. You know, there's this constant pressure, and we're not surrounded by icons and religious things to inspire us. It's
right.
These secular things that we're surrounded with.
Right. You know, one might say too, with all the rules that the church puts forward, and people call them rules, they're actually guidelines. That the church is trying to control us. She's always telling me what to do, how I should be happy. Is that really the case, do you think, Father?
No, actually, I don't think that at all. And the biggest example that I use is, you know, from our own priesthood, from the liturgy. You know, people say, you know, how can you have happiness celebrating the same service every Sunday? And I say, well, because it's predictable, it's comfortable, it's traditional, it's got some staying power. If I had to get up every Sunday and try to think, what service am I going to do today, there'd be so much anxiety in that there couldn't possibly be happiness. And so I think the church gives us a framework to live in, and we know that if we're in that framework, we're on the right path. We don't have to wonder, gosh, am I good with the Lord? If we're praying, if we're fasting, if we're going to confession, if we're sacramentally active, the church has provided us something to reassure us that we are on the right path. And that is what brings, you know, happiness and joy and comfort. I don't have to worry. And then another thing, and you know this from being a priest and now serving in many parishes, how wonderful it is to go parish to parish and you find the same altar, the gospel's in the same place, the service is exactly the same. You know, we could trade churches next Sunday. There'd be no anxiety about what we're going to do. And there you have freedom.
Well, and it's for, you know, as we know in the scripture that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and it's the only thing that changed. Many times I'll point to the icon screen and I say, well, you know, that icon screen's been the same, and it's been the same individuals on that icon screen. Christ is always there. The Panagia is always there. John the Baptist is always there. And that's a good thing in today's world because things are not permanent. They are in constant transition. And I think that changing, that sort of changing of the foundation or the plates underneath us, certainly does cause anxiety for people.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I was giving a tour of our church the other day, and I was talking about the vigil light on the altar table and how we've taken such great care of that light that it's never gone out all these years. And I said, imagine all the things that have changed in the world in the last 10, 15 years, and this light on this altar table that I've served now for 11 years has not ever changed. When that was last out, there wasn't Facebook. There wasn't all these things that we have now. This stays the same. As you said, Jesus Christ the same.
Yes, and there's a lot to be said for that. Let's look for a minute at children, Father, because I know that you do a lot of youth ministries. How can we show children that prayer brings joy? Because many times, you'll hear, oh, I'm tired, oh, it's boring, I don't want to stand there, you know, stuff like that. How do you deal with that, Father?
Well, I mean, there are a couple ways to deal with that. One, prayer, in order to be filled with God, there has to be some sense of need. There has to be some sense of emptiness. And I was saying, actually, to a Bible study this morning, I said last night after a meeting, I was hungry, and on the way home, I went by Taco Bell, and I got a burrito. Mm-hmm. And I said, so in one hand I'm holding the burrito, in the other hand I'm holding the steering wheel, and in my ear I have my phone headset, and I'm calling somebody. And so I'm maxed out. I'm filled. I don't have any room for any more input at that moment in my life.
Right.
You know, so we have to take some of our inputs away enough to have room for God. Now, if I took that scene in my car last night and then played it out for hours, and I said, my gosh, this hand is tired of holding the burrito, and this hand is tired of the steering wheel, and this ear is tired of listening, and my mouth is tired of talking, the only way to relieve my tiredness is to shut it all down and just sit still.
Mm-hmm.
And when you sit still and you fill that stillness with prayer, then you find joy, and you find a welcome relief from all the busyness in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another thing that brings great joy in prayer is praying together. When we are with someone and they pray for us, you know, I could stay there all day. If you said, you know, Father, just stop what you're doing and I want to pray for you, I would sit and eagerly listen, because what a great thing to receive somebody else's prayer with my name said out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And so when someone prays for us, we know that we're not alone. And so to encourage, you know, children to pray with their parents, or parents to pray with their children, or friends to pray with friends, we have this in our church. We have the paracrisy service where our names are said out loud, and I always find that comforting. And so, again, one of the things that brings us joy is praying with someone else in their presence, and also just shutting down the busyness of life. We all need some time to be still, and we don't realize that until we're still, and we experience that. We're like, wow, that was awesome that I shut everything off.
Mm-hmm. No, it is, and that disconnect sometimes is very, very important. Since giving is better than receiving, then how do you think we should pray for other people, Father? What should we say? What should we do?
I like the phrase, like, lifting up names and lifting up needs. We do that in the paracrisy service, you know, where we pray for people by name, and we also pray for need, pray for the people in the missions field, pray for the clergy, pray for the seminarians at Holy Cross. But to you know, when someone says, you know, pray for me, you know, I usually ask them, like, how do you want me to pray for you? What can I pray for you? And they say, you know, Father, I just lost my job. Okay, I'm sorry to hear that, but when I'm praying for you, I'm going to pray specifically about that. I'm going to bring that to our Lord, you know, on your behalf, and that is a great gift to give to somebody. In our private moments, if we're not sure how to pray for someone, you know, you can take the Jesus prayer, where we say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, the sinner. That is the traditional prayer. We can adapt that, and we can say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on my friend Michael. We don't put the sinner, that's only for ourselves. But, you know, and then as you bring Michael's name to mind, you can think, what are the things that he's going through today? He's a student. He has a test. He's got a sports game, you know, and pray for people you know in that context by name. And then if you run out of names, you can pray for people in categories. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on our police officers, or on our teachers, or on our doctors. And then, you know, think for a moment of a teacher you know, or a doctor, or what must it like to you'd like to run into a burning building if you're a firefighter, and then ask the Lord, then your thought progresses and you ask for specific things for protection for them.
We have a tradition in the church of using the prayer rope, the comboschini, when we pray, mm-hmm. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I've seen people use it. I have one. But some people use it as a bracelet. Can you tell us more about the practice and how Christians should use that prayer rope?
Sure. The comboschini is, you know, many centuries old, and it's comes from a monastic tradition, and it's used in concert with the Jesus prayer. And people would go around the knots on that rope, and they would say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And if your comboschini has 33 knots on it and the bead, you know, when you get to the bead, you've done it 33 times. I use it many times, and I try to pray for 33 people. I'll say it 33 times for myself, and then I'll do 33 other people. And sometimes I'll go around and do 5 go around with the comboschini and pray for 150 people.
And you just substitute the person's name in there? Is that what you did?
Yeah. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on, you know, my parish council president. Have mercy on my choir director, my wife, my son.
Sure.
As many people as I can think of, and when I run out of people, then I go in general categories.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But the other thing is, when you're wearing the comboschini, it's a good, number one, it's a good conversation starter. People have asked me, what is that thing you're wearing? And mm-hmm. it's a great opportunity then to talk about our faith. But the other thing is, it's a good check for you, because if you make a decision to wear this thing, and this is a sign of your Orthodox faith, and you're wearing it on your right wrist, then how can you raise your right wrist in anger?
Hmm.
Because everybody sees what you're wearing, and everyone sees you're wearing that. You know, how can you use foul language? How can you gossip? How can you do these other things? How can you click on your mouse and look at inappropriate stuff on the computer when that same hand is wearing the Komoskini?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good check for us as Christians. The decision to wear that should be more than just a nice trinket. It should, you know, help us to curtail certain behaviors.
Well, Father, I have one more question, and I hope it's not too pointed, but I think it needs to be asked. What happens when we pray and our prayers are not answered? They don't bring us happiness. How do we deal with that, Father?
The best way to answer this is talk about when you go to the gym. A lot of people go to the gym and they work out, and on a given day, they may be really into it, or they may really not be into it, or they may really just hate it and say, I really don't want to go to the gym today. I hate going there, but I'll go anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you're into it or not into it, there's a benefit. You're burning calories. And over time, when you start losing weight and you see the benefits, then you start saying, gosh, I want to go to the gym. I can't wait to go because I'm seeing the benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And then after you go for a while, it becomes a habit. It becomes a way of life. It becomes something you can't get by without. Mm-hmm. And I look at prayer the same way. If you're not getting results, then you just keep doing it, and eventually the results are going to come. And if you're in the habit of doing it and you get results some days, you don't get results other days, or you get joy some days, you don't get joy some days, it's the same thing with the working out. You just keep doing it, and over time, you start to see the benefits, and then it becomes a habit, and then it becomes something that you can't imagine going without. And if you're having a hard time praying on your own, find a prayer buddy. Find someone you can pray with. Or go to someone and say, because I've done this many times, you know, I'm going to commit to praying for you every day. And so if I can't do it for myself, then I know I've made a commitment to someone else, I have to pray for them. I mean, what a great gift. I have a commitment every Sunday when I pray the proskuneo to pray for the seminary. You know, and if I can't be motivated to do the proskuneo, I'm like, wait a minute, I made a commitment. Those people at the seminary, they're counting on me to pray for them. I will do it. So join others in the prayers. And as with anything in life, when you keep at it, it does show great benefit. And the other thing is, give yourself a chance at success by eliminating some distractions. If you're praying and you got the radio blasting and you say, I do this every day and I'm getting no results, well, you got to change your environment and give yourself a chance to have a success by slowing things down, quieting them down.
Very good, very good. Father Stavros, it's always great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you, Father Chris. Thanks for having me.
As Father Chris said at the beginning, Father Stavros has been with us on a number of past occasions. If you'd like to hear any of those other conversations with Father Stavros, just go to our website at myocn.net. We're also on Facebook, on Twitter, and on Google+. We are a nonprofit outreach, a part of the Orthodox Christian Network, and this edition of Come Receive the Light is brought to you in part, of course, by contributions from listeners like you, and by Father Alexander Gussetis and the Annunciation Greek Orthodox Church in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. For more information about supporting this ministry financially, go to our website, myocn.net. I'm Mike Trout. Our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. I hope you'll join us next week. Tell your friends about the broadcast, and remember to always have faith in what you listen to.